Chapter 4b, the eve of Chaf Kislev, Tofresh Tzadik, 1943 in Warsaw. As is well known, the Alter Rebbe used to read a number of chapters of Tehillim every day, according to the alternative division of the book into the days of the month. The Rebbes who succeeded him did likewise. The first verse of the allotment of Tehillim for Yutes Kislev is as follows. Tefillah l'Moshe Ish HaLikim Hashem Me'ein Ato Yisalonu B'der V'der. A prayer of Moshe, the man of Hashem. Lord, you have been an abode for us in generation after generation. David, king of Israel, had received the tradition from that Moshe Rabbeinu had composed this psalm. In the words of the Medrash Shachar Toiv, Moshe Rabbeinu uttered 11 psalms corresponding to 11 tribes. To begin with, the psalm opening with the phrase, a prayer of Moshe, includes the verse, Tashiv Enish Adaka, Vatoimer Shuvu Ben Yadam. You bring man low until he is crushed, and you say, return children, you children of men. This corresponds to the blessing of Reuven, Yechi Reuven Va'al Yomais, may Reuven live and not die. In this allusion, such as the above, in the book of Tehillim, there is to be found instruction for one's divine service. For every word of Torah and prayer ought to give a person a certain degree of guidance as to how to conduct himself in all the areas of his daily life. This is why the occasion has often arisen for an explanation of the fact that Torah means Hayra'a, a teaching, to show a person how to arrange all spheres of his mundane life, both in his family affairs, such as the conduct of his home and the upbringing of his children, and in his social life. In the above allusion, in the book of Tehillim then, there is a guidance for one's divine service. The above psalm comprises four main points. A. Man is exhorted to contemplate how fleeting is the lifespan of this fleshly material world. B. He is told how he is given help from above to follow the path of Torah and mitzvahs. And C. How, by various means, he is directed from above towards the ways of repentance. D. He is given a solid reminder that things of this world should not bring him to conceit. This psalm opens with the words, Hashem Mo'in Ata Ha'yisa Lanu B'der V'der. Lord, you have been an abode for us in generation after generation. It closes with the words, V'inoyam Hashem Elekeinu Aleinu U'masi Adeinu Keinen Aleinu U'masi Adeinu Keineneu. And may the pleasantness of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish for us the work of our hands, the work of our hands. Ye establish it for us. Now the word Ma'ein, abode, and the word Noyam, pleasantness, are composed of the same letters. Except that the statement, Ma'ein Ata Ha'yisalona B'dei Vardar, you have been an abode for us in the generation after generation, appears at the beginning of the psalm, while the request introduced by the words V'inoyam and may the pleasantness appears at its end. This psalm then embraces the entire life of a man on this world, from the moment that the soul enters its abode, the body, until it returns to the place called Noyam, pleasantness. For as it is written in the Zohar, Alma da'asei ikri Noyam, the world to come is called pleasantness. It was on Yud Tes Kislev then that the Alter Rebbe said this chapter of Tehillim, the day that marked the Hilula of the Makid of Mezritch, the anniversary of his passing, and the day that was to be his own Hilula, the day of his liberation from imprisonment. Among my notes of stories which I heard from my father in the summer of Tofresh Nun Hei 1895, there are many about the Alter Rebbe which have been handed down the generations from Rebbe to Rebbe. Some of them were passed down in a whisper, with earnest warnings that they were not to be revealed except for the benefit of Aveda. My grandfather, the Tzemach Tzedek, was exceedingly particular that stories should be transmitted with the greatest of care. My grandfather, the Rebbe Maharash, kept notebooks of stories that he had heard from his father and from older relatives who then lived in Lubavitch, as well as from elder Hasidim whom he had known as a child. He was well organized and had an extraordinary memory, and at the age of 10, began to write down whatever he heard. In his first jottings, he recorded how his father, the Tzemach Tzedek, went to Petersburg. Note, for the rabbinical conference convened by the government. In the summer of Tafresh Gimel, 1843, and before setting out, he instructed his children that every day, including Shabbos, they and their mother should read three chapters of Tehillim in his study. He also sent Herschel the Misharis with a pidyon to be taken to the burial place of his mother in Liazna. With his accustomed brevity, my grandfather, the Rebbe Marash, records A. The discussion surrounding the sending of emissaries to Hadish and Nezhin, the burial places of the Alter Rebbe and the Mittler Rebbe, respectively. B. A few stories that his father, the Tzemach Tzedek, had told him about how the Alter Rebbe had made the journey to Petersburg. C. A statement made by his father, the Tzemach Tzedek, concerning the Alter Rebbe and himself. My grandfather was taken to Petersburg. I am going myself. D. Another statement made by his father concerning the Alter Rebbe. My grandfather experienced self-sacrifice for the sake of teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and for the sake of Hasidim. For us, this self-sacrifice should be a beaten path. Astonishing stories are recorded there of the Alter Rebbe's stay in Peter Paul Fortress. Stories that have been handed down from generation to generation in hallowed purity. When my father used to speak of the Alter Rebbe, he would say that quite apart from the remarkable spiritual level of his soul, he was an Atzmi. In other words, one who was absolutely true to his self or Etzem. And wherever an Etzem may be, he is an Atzmi. The concept of being an Atzmi involves two points. A. An Atzmi is what he is. B. Whatever an Atzmi is, he is that at all times and in all places equally. Changes in space and time are immaterial to him. The light of the sun, the heat of the sun, and the influence of the sun, whether in relation to vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, or humanity, are each only hispashtus, an extension of the sun, and not atmos, the self of the sun. This is why they vary under the influences of changes in time and space. That which is at the level of hispashtus can be delimited, obscured, withheld, or hindered. With an Atzmi, however, changes of space and time are of no consequence. The Etzem of the sun is equal in all places and at all times. As to the divine command, V'hayu l'ma'oreis perikia ha'shamayim l'har al-aretz, they shall be luminaries in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, signifying that the realm of this one should be daytime and the realm of the other shall be nighttime. This delineation refers only to the hispashtus of the luminaries. That which is Atzmi, by contrast, is unbounded, for the realm of Atzmi is unaffected by changes of time and space. The Alter Rebbe was an Atzmi, and an Atzmi, as we have said above, is unaffected by changes of time and space. Once inside the office of the Peter Paul Fortress, where he was to be cross-examined, as soon as dawn came, for he had been brought there before daybreak, he took out his talus and began to examine its tzitzis, whereupon all the clerks there were overwhelmed by dread. For wherever an Atzmi may be, he is an Atzmi. In fact, however, the Etzem of the sun is not exactly analogous to the Atzmius of the Alter Rebbe. For a Nivra, a created being, cannot provide an exact analogy with an Neshama, a soul. Though the Atzmi of a Ma'ar, literally a luminary, and the Atzmi of Chius, life force, are both Atzmi, they are nevertheless different. Wherever the Alter Rebbe was, he remained just as he had been. His stay in prison constituted entire Torah teachings that can and should provide us with direction and encouragement in the study of Chassidus, a path in the Avodah of the heart required by prayer and zeal in following the ways of Chassidus. My grandfather, Baruch Shalom, the son of the Tzemach Tzedek, was gifted with a musical talent. When he was 8 years old, the Alter Rebbe taught him the tunes for the cantillations of the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. Concerning the latter, the cantillation for the Ksuvim, he said that this was the song of the Levites in the Beis HaMikdash. At the same time, he told him two stories that he had heard from his Rebbe, the Maggid of Mezritch, and concluded with these words. When we used to hear a Torah discourse from the Rebbe, we saw this as the oral law. And when we heard a story from his mouth, this was our written law. The Alter Rebbe then is saying here that a story heard from one's Rebbe is Torah Shebichsav, whereas a Torah teaching heard from one's Rebbe is Torah Shebal Peh. One should listen attentively to the depths and richness of these words, for a statement of the Alter Rebbe is a wellspring of life-giving waters. The full weight of a vart of the Alter Rebbe and how it ought to be studied may be clearly seen in Likutei Torah. There we see how my great-grandfather the Tzemach Tzedek studies each statement of the Alter Rebbe, illuminating it by reference to Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, Zohar, and Midrashim. And from all the above, it is now perfectly clear for what soundly based reason my great-grandfather was most particular that stories should be transmitted with the greatest of care. My grandfather, the Alter Rebbe of Avruch, once told my father something that he had heard from his saintly grandfather, a Mordechai of Chernobyl, in these words. My father, Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, once told me that the Rebbe, the Magid of Mezritch, regarded the Rav, the Alter Rebbe, as a child. The Magid had once said to Reb Zusya, "Write to our sage, Goyen, Reb Zalman Yu Litvak, the Lithuanian, and tell him to make the journey here." And from that time on, his colleagues of the Chavraya called him the Rav. One of them, Rav Avraham, the Malach, the angel, the son of the Magid, told his father of this, and this was the answer. The holy brotherhood concur with the truth. A name carries significance, and in the halacha the law is determined according to him who is called Rav. The Shulchan Aruch, Code of Jewish Law of the Rav, will find acceptance throughout all the scattered communities of the House of Israel. When the Rav arrived, Reb Zusya told him that the Magid had referred to him as our Goyen. The Rav deeply sighed and fainted. When he came to, he was exceedingly weak and had to remain in bed. This took place in Ravna, at the time of the big meeting. The members of the Brotherhood were afraid to tell the Rebbe the Magid. Reb Mendel, Reb Nachum Mendel of Vitebsk, held that it was out of the question for them to do so, because of the anguish involved. The members of the Brotherhood would have to find some means themselves of making a pidyon for the Rav. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Bardichev argued otherwise, and ultimately persuaded the other disciples to inform the Magid. This they did through a deputation of three, Reb Mendel, Reb Zusya, and Rav Levi Yitzchak. The Magid answered in the following words, "And Hashem hid it from me. He has the sensitivity of a son. I was like a son to my Rebbe the Baal Shem Tov, and he is like a son to me." None of us understood what these words of the Rebbe conveyed until a few days before his passing, he told us. "What you sense now, Reb Zalman Yu already sensed last summer." And before his passing, he took the Rav's hand in his own and said, "Yud Tes Kislev is our Ilula, day of rejoicing." At this point, the Friedrich Rebbe continues as follows. And indeed, the Tuesday of the week of Parshas Vayeshev, Tavkof Lam and Gimel, 1772, was the Hilula of the Magid of Mezritch, the day of his passing. While the same day, 26 years later, the Tuesday of the week of Parshas Vayeshev, Tavkof Nun Tes, 1798, was the Hilula of the Alter Rebbe, the day of his liberation from imprisonment. Speaking of this once at Afarbringen, the well-known Chassid of Shmuel Dov of Barasov said that the 26 years between these two events correspond to the four letters of the name of Hashem, whose numerical value totals 26. The Alter Rebbe, he said, revealed the path of Yehuda Ilah. "When I was in prison in the Sparlarke, I was reminded of the above Farbringen, which my father had told me about. I recall, too, that when he had once entered the study of his father, the Rebbe Marash, for Yechidus, his father had expounded a certain concept in Yechidus, and had meanwhile said, my great-grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, underwent self-sacrifice so that Hasidim should have a perception of Yehuda Ilah and an understanding of Das Elyon."